All right, almost midnight my time. We'll get out of here pretty soon. Anonymous writes, the older generation has an obligation to raise, encourage, and guide the young. However, some lessons can only be learned through the trials and travails of independence. Ideally, a child would gradually adopt more and more responsibilities until independence is achieved, but independence requires a capitalist mindset, and children are raised in a socialist environment, more or less. Yes, independence does require a capitalist mindset. I wouldn't necessarily put it in those terms, but yes, capitalists generally leave me alone. I'll make my own way. And socialists are like, hey, all you other people work for me. And that's really what socialism really is, just communal slavery, where it's like all you people pay extra taxes to support me because I don't want to work. Just ask all the professors and academics, right, Noam Chomsky? Oh, it's funny. His joke's on us. That dude's about to die, and he had an entire life of just sitting in academia, not doing anything. He did a lot of things. Shut up. More or less. Yeah, correct. More or less. Thus, there's a short circuit between what is needed to be independent and what is actually taught. The results I've witnessed over and over again is what's colloquially called tough love, and I'm not exactly a fan. what? This usually involves a young person trying to act in the world upon the false premise of socialism. When that doesn't work, the parents get more and more frustrated and finally completely cut off their offspring from economic support. Yeah, no, and the parents are probably the ones that, okay. If the parents didn't outright feed them socialism, they sure as hell didn't warn them about it. I don't know any father, except for like maybe a Rich Cooper or a Terrence Pop, who at least attempt to sit down and talk to the kids and say, look, the BS, John Fitch is another perfect example. A good father who invests in their kids sits them down and says, this is BS what they're teaching. That's not how it works in the real world. But they're the exception, not the rule. And so, you know, it's hypocritical of parents to get pissed off at the children for failing when they never equip their children for success. Why? Because parents themselves are too lazy, and socialists themselves in that regard, being lazy, they don't want to actually parent and tell the kids hard stuff. I don't know how many people I've seen my age just not discipline their children, not tell the kids how the real world works. People I know that are close to me even just let their kids major in whatever they want. They got to set their own path. Just take the easy way out. And then now none of these kids, now I guess adults, are old enough yet to be, you know, judging them and say, we're cutting you off. But it's amazing to me. I've seen it from my parents' generation and a little bit younger. So between me and my parents' generation, parents of that age have children that still live at home. Whoever the parents of millennials are, younger boomers, I guess. And then they're like, we're finally kicking you out. It's like, well, you're the one that created this mess. I've seen parents go all way too easy on children. And then what ends up, spare the rod, spoil the child. And that's 100% true. And I'm of the opinion that there needs to be a lot more rods, a lot more sticks. No carrots, no cake. Nope. Because you see what happens to kids that get carrot and cake all the time. They become soy boys. They become these people. They still live at home and need government bailouts at 40. One of the best quotes, it's a wasted crop. You waste an entire crop of human beings failing to raise the millennials. And now Gen Zers, but I digress. When that doesn't work, the parents get more and more frustrated, finally completely cutting off their offspring from economic support. Right. And then really throwing those kids into a shock. Because the time to prepare your children, whether they're old or young, for adulthood is before adulthood. Like, here's how you work. This is a work ethic. Here's how you balance a budget. Here's a personal budget. You don't like, you're brave, amazing, brave, amazing, brave, amazing, brave, amazing, money, 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 brave, amazing, brave, amazing. And then 35, get out of the house. What's wrong with you? Well, you never train them, you dumbasses. Oh, if you think I hate millennials, the first seven chapters does nothing but rip on the boomers in this one. Available paperback, Kindle, and Audible. But this seems to reflect the failure of raising the child more than a character deficiency. The child learns the hard way what would be easier to learn if a proper economic education was provided instead. Correct. Who's going to deliver it? You've mentioned yourself that you'll never forget what it was like to be hungry and cold and near poverty. There is value in learning Maslow's hierarchy of needs in a tangible way. Yes, especially from the ground up. How do we transmit the formative experience of being independent to a young person, i.e. being cold, hungry, near poverty, and with no one to depend upon, without instilling into them a feeling of abandonment or the sense that parents and schools are covering up for their own incompetence in teaching and fundamentals of economics? All right. I don't think you can. You will feel abandoned because technically you were. Maybe not emotionally. Maybe your parents love you. They just, and this is a very common case with many people across the world, but especially here in the United States, where your parents had more children than they could afford. And they're there, I guess, for you emotionally, for whatever that's worth. But last I checked, you can't eat emotions. Hugs from my mom did not make the hunger go away. And you know, good grades, son, from my dad did not make it so I could get more than 4 hours of sleep a night. I would generally say, philosophically say, you cannot replace true hunger, true cold, and true poverty with some kind of wisdom. I guess this is the paradox of wisdom, is until someone lives it, you're not going to have the same effect. Now, you can try to impart wisdom on younger people, or anyone for that matter, doesn't have to be younger, and say, hey, whoa, don't go down that road, man. Now, I went down, there's grizzly bears and Karens and Wisconsin old ladies driving slow in the left lane. You definitely don't want to go down that path, man. But it's not the same as going down that path like, oh, my God, now I know exactly why on an empirical level as to why I don't go down that path. But to scare the work ethic I got, you darn right it came from all that horrific crap I went through. Absolutely. Why I get pissed off at people when it's like taking them 5 seconds longer to get out of the car than me, where I'm like, waiting, like, hey, let's go. And I'm not wrong. I'm not wrong. That's the thing. Why I'm eating fast. It's like, hey, guys, do you want to sit here and just eat a little bit slower? And because I know time is important. Most of it, they don't know. But then that translates into the success I've had today. This panicked hustle, this like every second counts, that you can't get by providing for your children and having a good Andy Griffith, Ward Cleaver, Fred McMurray talking with, well, you see, boy. You know, the vast majority of kids that read this book didn't execute on it. Horse to water, that kind of thing. So that's another issue. You could paint the picture for them and spell it out for them. That doesn't mean they're going to follow your advice. So how do you transmit a formative experience of being independent to a young person without instilling them into a feeling of abandonment or a sense that the parents and schools are covering up their own incompetent teaching? About the only way you could do it is you push them out of the nest like birds do, to force that independence on them. And they are going to suffer, and they're going to struggle, and they're going to strive. They're going to be poor, they're going to be cold, and they're going to go hungry. And then when they're like 25, say, hey, I saw what you did. Here you go. And you give them a good, you know, chunk of change for a down payment on how, maybe 25, that's a little early, but 30. You wait till they're 30. Because I've always said you're aiming to win your children over at 30, not 13. And I would not go so far as to let your children starve. Like if they're, you know, I was down to 118 pounds. I'm like, can I get food? can I get some money for food, please? Okay, I guess I'll eat bagels. Don't let it get that bad. Be honest with you. Like, we don't have the money, but we can buy you groceries, or we can let you live at home, especially with rent and tuition prices. And then, you know, down the road at 30, like, okay, you've suffered, you've endured this. We just wanted you to endure that so you understood, but also be there as loving, caring parents. Make sure they don't starve. Make sure they're not fearing the next day. Like, are we like, well, you can always come back home. You know, that reassurance. So they're still out there. They're still enduring this hardship. They're still punching through Maslow's hierarchy of needs under their own steam. But they know you kind of got their back. And then like, then you got the money or opportunity. Then you can go ahead and give it to them when they're 30. So then they won't feel abandoned because you did what you could, at least at that time. And then when they're older and they realize what you did to tell them to be a strong, independent, you know, man or woman, then they should be adult enough that they struggle and strive to make themselves adults, and they learn independence and self-reliance and fiscal responsibility and frugality. Now you give them the money. Now they know how to go. And then over time, they'll appreciate what you did. But you have to be loving and supportive there for them. You can't just, now in my day, wasn't really an option because I couldn't afford long distance. You know, you're sure your parents love you and all that, but again, food. And I think that's that last one, and no one to depend upon. You would like to know that there is some kind of support. Like, let your children know, like, look, we're here for you if you need something. Okay. Can't promise you the world. So I think that's the way to do it. But the other way to do it, feeling of abandonment or the sense that parents and schools are covering up for their own incompetence in teaching. That's a separate issue where teachers and parents can't teach the fundamentals of economics. That's just because they're idiots and morons and they have no incentive to. So let's end that one there. Former of experience. The only other way I think you can do it is you sit down with your kids like daily and go over their homework with them. And then you talk about financial planning. We talk about economics. You take them to the ghetto or the barrio or the trailer park. You say, you see all that? You take them to a prison. You know, you show them all the great. You take them to a psych ward. You take them to a feminist protest at the Capitol or the university. And, you know, little girl, like, see that? You want to be that? And you explain it. Like, I got a buddy. Now, he's not rich. But even if he was, I think he might be able to pull it off where, let's say, his children were taken care of financially. He sits down and explains to his kids, no, you're going to work. No, you don't get money for free. You're going to work. You will earn your allowance. So you can do those things like you got to earn your allowance. Teach them entrepreneurship. Like, hey, why don't you go get a lawnmower and go mow some lawns? Well, I don't have money for a lawnmower. Well, at the bank of dad at 15% interest, I'll be more than happy to lend you the $150 to get yourself a used lawnmower. You know, that kind of thing. And so you could teach them academically. And you could teach them logically, like, this is why you have to work. This is why independence and self-reliance is very important. This and they can understand it and they'll go do it. But that, I hate to use the word passion, that dread, that fear, that intense emotion of like, it's cold, baby, it's cold outside, that you're not, they have to suffer that. And the only way I can think of that is you lie about how much money you got. You let them know you love them and care them, but you make them suffer and go through that. Then they come out on the other side. But hopefully you were there for them, loving and caring them, letting them know, buying them the occasional bag of groceries. Maybe, you know, trying to think what have been nice, you know, hey, here, we'll cover your car insurance this week or this month. No, you know, showing interest, showing you care, letting them know that you're not going to let them fail. Then maybe they could pull that off. Then they might experience that. But don't think that any kid can make it through life without pain. It's the difference between, you know, someone who's all academic, you know, all these professors that have doctorates and whatever education, but they've never taught a class in their life. People with master's degree or doctorates in physics, but they can't change their oil. Kids and young adults, your children in general, they have to suffer some kind of pain. They have to go through trials and tribulations. And even if you were to give them a very strict, logical Vulcan type of, like, here's how it works. You could give them the greatest operating system. They're not going to fundamentally know why or how or what the reasons are. Like, because they're not computers, they're humans. You got to give them not just powerful pro incentives like love, sex, joy, humor. You need to scare the piss out of them. You need to scare the daylights out of them. And don't worry, the world will do that enough, but you got to let the world do it. You can't constantly shield them from it. And then teaching kids the fundamentals of it. You can. It's up to the father to do that. It's up to the father to do that. But I don't think it can be done academically. Hey, asshole, not sure. Thank you, OBJ54. All right. It's time to go to bed. We'll see you guys later. Toodles.